Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan. Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctors are in. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Dr. Denise.
Hey, happy to welcome you to Second Half Now. We're going to start at the very top of the show with the title. I've been kind of getting into the practice of giving a topical title that will kind of tell where we're going with the show. And here is, with our guest in studio and all the things that we have ready to go, here's the introduction. Here's the title for the show. When the shift hits the fan, learning to embrace change as your friend. Welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Dan Critchett. Happy to be here. I've been through a lot of changes and challenges in life, and I need to hear what our guest is going to share with us today. And we have our lovely and talented co-host. She squints and scrunches when I say that. I'll just give you her name, Dr. Denise Hogan. Hello, Denise.
Yeah, thank goodness it's radio, right?
It is.
Welcome, everyone. It's good to be here today. I am Denise Lopez Hogan. I'm the Director of Career and Life Counseling at Warner Pacific College, and also run a private practice, Square Peg Psychological. So this is a topic I'm certainly going to enjoy today.
Yeah. For me, not only having experienced a lot of these tough changes, but also as a pastor, helping people go through them also themselves. As a career pastor and ministry person, gosh, some of these changes are just unsettling and upsetting, and it just changes the course of our lives and how we feel about where we are and where we've been and where we're going. It makes it very, very difficult. But we are so pleased to be able to introduce a guest today that's going to help us get some handles on this so that we actually can embrace change as our friend, because the shift does hit the fan during our lifetime. So we have five topic areas that we do on the show, and we try to spread them around a little bit, and here they are. Number one is home and family. Number two is health and wellness. Number three is budget and finances. Number four is heart and soul. And number five is work and service. With those five topics, we pretty well cover what life is about for us as boomers, wouldn't you say?
I think it covers it pretty well.
Yeah, I think whatever we're dealing with, we can find one of these subject areas to put it under. We're going to introduce our guest in just a moment. Really looking forward to doing that. By the way, I couldn't quite decide what topic this show was going to fall under, but I chose, of those five, I chose that it's going to fit under heart and soul. Because some of these things, they're not so much about finances only. They're not so much about health and wellness. All that stuff can be involved. But it really is about what's going on inside of us. Mm. It's the spiritual part of our life, the emotional part of our life, and all that stuff that's going on. And there's going to be some really, really good, helpful stuff in this show today. So stay tuned. So, Denise.
Right. So having Miles with us today is excellent because he, in his own life, has had the shift hit the fan many times. One of those ways is used to be very much involved in the music production world, but now is an entirely different arena that he earns his daily bread, shall we say. And Miles is a therapist and a life coach, and he's had some pretty amazing training experiences, folks that he's had a chance to work with, including Mark Victor Hansen and Les Brown and Dr. Deepak Chopra. So some names that some folks out there might recognize. But we're here to extract everything we can from Miles about what he's learned, not only in his own life, but in his professional life as a coach, as a master's in counseling psychology, and as a speaker nationally. He's been on television and radio shows. So it's great to have him here today, and we are going to make the most of his visit. So
thank
welcome.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Can you help us in these times together, both in the on-air part and on the podcast part? Can you help us with some clues or tips, some ways that we can embrace change as our friend?
Wow, it's such a big question. And I know for some folks, depending on what may be going on in their lives, the idea of embracing change as a friend may seem kind of foreign. especially if change was not anticipated and the rug gets pulled out from underneath one or seems to be. It's sometimes hard to see the perspective because we can get caught up in the pain and the suffering and trying to just make it through a day.
Right.
So I think that, you know, it's kind of fun that what we're talking about and really why we're talking about it, because even before we began this program today, we were sharing in all three of our lives the changes that are happening literally moments before we came on the air here. And it's a fluid dynamic. We never really quite know where things are going. And the piece that we have in terms of how we move with it is how we interpret things. And also how we how we shape these opportunities called change. And I think the idea of this program and really the title is about not seeing change as something that we try to avoid. We try to see change as an opportunity and how we embrace the qualities of change to bring us closer to God and to bring us closer to why we're here.
We're going to cover a lot more about that and get real down and practical about some of these things coming up, so stay tuned. I'm going to switch gears a little bit and lay over the quote here, because I always do this, who said that? And I always go out on the internet and try to find a quote that fits the topic and the guest for the day. And I found a winner. And neither Denise nor Miles had heard this one before, but the clues are I'm going to kind of go a little bit easy on you guys. And I think if we get to the third clue and you don't know this person, well, maybe you're not in the right. You might be under 50. I'll put it that way. And if you're under 50, you're not supposed to be listening to this show.
Naughty, naughty.
All right. Here's the quote. Who said that? I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. Now, the reason that I liked that quote, actually, I put a whole page full of quotes, and I chose this one out of all of them for two reasons. Number one, we have to have resilience and adaptability in our lives. We have to be purposeful. We have to be able to take what comes and do something about it. And that's what I'm hoping, Miles, that you can give us a little bit of an opening, kind of open the door a little bit to some of these things for today. But the other thing is destination, because it says, I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. We're not just floating out there on the sea and hope some wind comes around and blows us, well, someplace. Because in life, we want to have direction. We want to have purpose. We want to have some things that where we know that we're wanting to get to. And these things, these shifts that come, these changes, these upsetting things might seem to throw us off course. But in it all, maybe it is a way really for us to get to where God intends for us to be after all. So those are the reasons I chose the quote. Here is the first clue. All right, we got three clues, two of them on this side, on the on-air part, and then one we carry over, and we got a special surprise for you on the podcast side. All right, here's clue number one. He grew up during the Depression, lived in a shack, and his mom sewed clothes for him out of sugar sacks, all of which resulted in teasing and ridicule from his friends and schoolmates. Mm. Now, that doesn't necessarily, you know, bring names to mind, but it gives a little context for this person's life and why he might have come up with a quote like this, because he had to do a lot of sail shifting in his life to get through. That was his start. That was his beginning. So I'm going to tell how I met Miles and how this whole show today came about. I have been a regular attender of Christian Chamber meetings and am a member now. This show is a member of Chamber. And I saw on the invitation that came leading up to the Chamber meeting I was going to attend, I saw this guy with a hat on and a very intent look on his face, but he looked like friendly enough, looked like he might have something to say. And so I came to the meeting, and by the time we do some preliminary things, and then when Miles got up to start talking, I could tell even by the way that he began presenting and talking to and connecting with the audience, I knew that he believed that he had something of value to share with our folks at the meeting. And by the time he got done, I knew that he did. And I was so appreciative of that. In fact, we had another chamber meeting a week or so later where he was the speaker, and I went to that one too. Took more notes. So it's really, really good stuff. And in preparation for this show, Miles, we've talked on the phone a couple times, mm-hmm. and I've just really been challenged and encouraged by the things that you have to share with us. And so to our listeners, I just want to say Miles is going to help us get a handle on this. When the shift hits the fan, learning to embrace change as your friend.
There you go, Miles. You ready for that?
I hope so.
So, you know, change,
yes,
as a friend, that most of the time that is not how people are putting those two things together, those two concepts together. So help us out. Why is the information you're bringing us today going to be so helpful?
Well, I think partly is I've gone through major changes in my own life a number of times. And I also can respect and be appreciative of the audience that we're speaking to, who are baby boomers. Mm-hmm. I'm a baby boomer. And I'm in the middle of transitions all the time, personally. And then professionally, I have an opportunity to be around people who are in change as well. So I am a mental health consultant for Multnomah County. So I have a chance to see people who are in various states of homelessness and poverty and severe mental illness. And I see the radical changes they go through and the challenges that they have just to make it through a day. Mm-hmm. And then in a private practice as a life coach and a therapist, I work with folks who are also going through change. So what's really cool about my walk is that I not only have gone through a lot of personal changes, in the most recent one, in terms of professionally and personally, I moved my wife and I, Pangea, that's my wife, and I moved from San Diego to Sandy, Oregon in 2005. And I also went from doing music production and working in the music business to working as a therapist full time, which I can't think of more of a radical change in terms of careers. And so that one's still in process, both of those pieces. And so I think what I'm learning to appreciate more, and this is really relates to the topic today, is how I can personally move with the changes and the challenges of my own life in finding ways to find meaning and purpose in my own suffering, mm-hmm. and find that there's a greater purpose for, yeah, it.
Can you tell us some about some of examples of some of those changes, whether it's the shift from San Diego to Sandy or the career shift? What are some of those changes in your life that now help you work with others?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Number one, I'm much more compassionate going through my own suffering. And the suffering piece for me, I'll kind of break it down for a second, is the change from going from one physical location, San Diego, to Sandy, Oregon, was radical. Even if I didn't make a career change, mm-hmm. that was a huge shift for me. The change part was easy, going from San Diego to Sandy, Oregon. The transition, however, the internal, emotional, spiritual journey has been the tough one to navigate. So there, on the physical front, that was a huge shift. And also being away from my tribe, my community, my supports, all that. I had no idea, or could I even anticipate, what I was going to be facing in terms of the challenges of recreating community in another location. And then you put on top of that, going from being in the studio, I used to bring my dogs into the studio, and we used to produce music for radio and television commercials around the world, and I had a really cherry job and making some good money and living by the beach. And now I've decided that's not going to work for me anymore because I need to go to something more meaningful and purposeful, and I decided to work with the homeless and the most severely mentally ill. And I had no idea that that would be an amazing transition, you know, inside of how am I going to even, like, be around other people's pain, and learning to use that and be not drown in it all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how that, your question really being how I apply this now, it's really about taking note of what I've learned along the way and how to help people maybe see some of the opportunities to learn and to grow, which basically we're looking to learn and to grow and to integrate what we do learn. And hopefully not make the same mistakes that we make over and over, which becomes patterns. Mm-hmm. And we have opportunities to have our destinies change when we start to realize that these are learning opportunities and to find meaning and purpose. So I try to bring that spirit of adventure And I may even put it as far as saying a little bit of play to see that there is something here that may be really not only interesting and inviting and adventurous, but also deeply rich.
You know, what I'm hearing in what you're saying is all of a sudden I can see people who have said things like, no matter what I do, it seems I wind up in the same place, and they're kind of mad about it, like, you know, the stars have aligned to go after them and punish them purposely by putting them right back in the same place where they were before. But what I'm hearing you say in that is, oh, that's an opportunity there. If we're running into the same thing over and over again, instead of feeling like the world's lined up against me, maybe there's a pattern here. Maybe there's something that I'm not paying attention to that winds me up in this place again. And now that I've realized that, it's an opportunity. How can I do it differently? Am I on the right path with you there, Miles?
It feels appropriate and it feels accurate. The idea that we are facing life's opportunities to learn and to grow, and then to make new choices based on what we learn and to integrate that. And sometimes it just takes stepping out of our frame of reference, getting an outside perspective, gaining a sense of stepping back to see the roles that we play, to see the themes that become current, and we start to see these patterns more clearly. And for many of us, our lives just keep on ticking. Our demands on the day-to-day level are even more demanding now than ever. And it's very easy to get lost in the process. And to me, I call it getting lost in transition.
Now, I want to talk to both of you as mental health professionals, each with a different approach, but very clinical in the sense of very scientific, very polished, very knowledgeable. And it seems to me on a layman's level here that change comes in a couple of different ways. One is change that's thrust upon us, and another where change is offered to us, and another where change is something that we want to actually take upon ourselves. So, but I want to ask, everybody has a different response to change. You know, some people say change, where do we start? You know, early adapter kind of a person. And others, I mean, they dig in their heels and everything else. But there is a fundamental challenge, I think, in there, because change is difficult. Even if we embrace it, it's difficult. Why is it, you counselors, why is it that change is so difficult? And I want our listeners to tune into this, because change is happening to you. You're in the midst of change probably right now. In fact, I've heard it said that if you're not changing, you're not living. You know, down the street here, there's a cemetery, and there's some people laying in graves. They're not changing. All they're changing is done. But I don't want to preach a sermon on this, although I'm very tempted. But I'm going to ask both of you. Dr. Denise Hogan, I mean, a clinical psychologist, own private practice with Square Peg Psychological, which says a lot in itself. And Miles, and your degree work and everything else, why is it, humanly speaking, that change is just so darn difficult?
Well, when I answer a question like that, it's just, this is why it's good to have two of us, because we'll come at this from different angles. For me, it's always about the brain. So in a nutshell, the brain likes predictability. It learns things so that it can know what to do in a future moment.
Sure.
So if we change it up, our predictability is lost, and now we're unsettled because we can't be sure of what the next step is.
I want to hear more about that and Miles' response and his input on that too right after the break. We're just reminding you folks that Dignity Memorial is in our community with 15 funeral homes around to serve you. And also we have a new sponsor. We call them playfully the Golden Girls. That is the Golden Placement Services. And I want to tell you something about them after the break.
Have you ever had to go through the painful process of helping to plan a funeral for someone you love? It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about it, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you through the process of planning. It also gives you helpful worksheets to ease the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries will even help you complete your plan. There are a lot of reasons to plan ahead that I can think of. For one thing, you can make sure your final wishes are respected. You'll be sparing loved ones the added grief of planning for you. And if you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation. There are a lot of very good reasons to pre-plan your own funeral arrangements with Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries, including the free planning guide. And now is a great time to give them a call. Call anytime, night or day, 503-747-7128.
Life is a journey, and it really helps to have a roadmap, especially during your golden years of life. There are at least 80 senior living communities and 1,100 adult care homes in just the greater Portland, Vancouver metro area. At no cost to you or your family, you can plan now for the right fit for yourself or loved ones. Golden Placement Services is the roadmap to your new home. In four simple steps, assessment, research, touring, and follow-up, the Golden Girls will help you prepare for the next part of your journey.
We found Golden Placement Services to be very helpful to us in locating a care facility for our father. They asked good questions to ascertain what kind of facility we were looking for. We were taken to a few homes that fit the criteria we were seeking, and we're very happy with the care our dad's receiving from the facility found for us by Golden Placements.
Visit our website at goldenplacements.com to learn more. That's goldenplacements.com. Or call one of the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145 and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
So you've heard about Dignity Memorial, and I just want to remind you that they have informational seminars that are all over the area. So you want to go to our website, secondhalfnow.com, to find out or to even ask if the events are not posted there. They're free informational seminars, free dinner at a nice restaurant, or free lunch. Check that out. Good information. Now, I want to tell you about, I was having lunch with a pastor friend of mine recently, and he was telling me about his mom who needed to move from one care facility to another. And she's all wrapped up in all the dementia, and we're not quite sure what's all going on. But he says, I need to find another place for her because the level of care that she's getting isn't quite what she needs. So I said, my friend, can I tell you, can I give you a referral? And he practically leaned over the table at me and he says, please. I said, I'm not going to refer you to a particular place, but to a service. And I described how Golden Placement Services works and how they gather all the information. They meet with the family and they take you around to the places, several of which would be just right for you. And then you pick and you don't pay for that service. It's extraordinary. I really like the way that those Golden Girls work. And we just want to recommend people give them a call. Contact our, get through to our website and you'll have some information there. Back to the question about why change is so difficult, because if we know how why it's so difficult, then maybe we can employ some things, some tools and strategies to help leverage it and to embrace it to, as our friend. So, Denise, were you done with your little nutshell? And we're going to go over to Miles, or you want to finish up that part?
That was my nutshell, but I will give one picture, dramatic picture of what I'm talking about. This is something that's known about people are hostages that have been kept captive. Mm-hmm. What's been learned over the years is that when rescuers go in to save them out of that situation, they practically have to kidnap people out of that situation. Yeah. Even though they're trying to say, hey, it's freedom. It's all good. You're safe. What has happened is folks who have been in captivity have learned how to make that system work, how to keep themselves more safe, how to work with the folks who are their captors to make sure they get food, to behave correctly, to get to get water, to get to use the restroom, all of those basic needs. So then somebody comes along and says, hey, I'm offering you safety and freedom and a new world. They're going to stay safe in those routines that they've learned. So that's a dramatic picture of it, but if we take that dramatic picture and scale it back, we can see how our own patterns and routines are more comfortable than the unknown.
And I'm going to have to interrupt right there because we're heading toward the end of this portion of the show. We want people to, you absolutely have to go over to the podcast. I'm going to give the second clue to the quote, because there is a bridge there, something you're going to find very interesting. And here we invite Miles into the studio as our guest, and we do all the talking. So we're going to get you in there, Miles. All right, plenty of time on the other side. Okay, so here's the second clue. First of all, the clue again. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. The second clue. His family attended church every Sunday, which is where he learned to love singing, and he joined the choir. He went on to a successful music career, recording one of his biggest hits, Big John. Now, for me, I remember that song. I could sing most of it myself, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember who recorded it. You guys know? Don't
I'm
say it.
I'm not happy.
No? Okay, well, here's our treat on the other side on the podcast. We're going to play the song, Big John. So we are going to wind down this portion, which means this is what goes on air. But with our website, we have the podcast to replay this side and also to the podcast side, which is the rest of the show. So we have things coming up, other guests who are going to be in the studio in the next weeks. We have an estate planning attorney that will help talk us through some of the things that we need to do to protect our family, some of the estate planning measures. We have a real estate professional coming in, talk to us about downsizing, relocating, buying, selling, a tried and trusted provider for real estate. So keep listening every week. And then we have Finding God in the Darkness, an amazing story of a family's sudden and drastic change and how they're getting through it. You're going to love that show. It's a real heart warmer and a faith builder. So that's it. 5:30 to 6 p.m. every Monday evening right here on KKPZ 1330, The Truth. We'll see you on the other side on the podcast. Be sure to go to our website to give us feedback and to get information, secondhalfnow.com. Go to the podcast. We'll see you over there.
Welcome to Second Half Now, a radio show for boomers and beyonders. Tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan. Second Half Now, sponsored by Dignity Memorial. It's time for Second Half Now. The doctors are in. Here are your hosts, Dr. Dan and Dr. Denise.
And welcome to the second half of Second Half Now. And I want you to know that if you're listening to this, you are on the internet or on some of web-based device of some kind, because this part is not on the air. This is our little secret stash over here. And we save the good stuff for the end, so you want to listen to this whole thing. However, if you didn't listen to the on-air part, the first part, that is also available on the website. Should be very close to where you are clicking on to get this one. But that provides the foundation and the context for what we're going to finish with now. So you want to make sure that you go back there and listen to that. You can do it first and then come back here, or listen to this and then go back and get the rest of it. Either way, it's all right there. I am your host, Dr. Dan Critchett, and our co-host, Dr. Denise Hogan. We are here with our very special guest, Miles Richmond. We're deeply involved in a conversation under this title, When the Shift Hits the Fan. Learning to embrace change as your friend. So let's get back into our conversation. Dr. Denise, where were we?
Well, we had been answering the question, why is change so difficult? And you brought up that sometimes change hits us by surprise. We weren't expecting it. But other times we may want change. Mm-hmm. We may have selected a path that's going to bring about change. And it's still hard, even though it's our choice. And so Miles is going to help us out here, helping us figure out why it is that we have such difficult times sometimes with the transitions that come with change.
I'm listening.
Well,
I gotta hear it.
This is such a great topic. And the only person that I know that likes change all the time is a wet baby. And so I think your answer, which was in the first half, was about the brain and how our body is designed for predictability. And even when we have changes that we are maybe anticipate, look forward to, that we may still have a hard time. And that's where there's a difference between change and the actual transition piece. So I want one of the pieces that's a common denominator for people who really accelerate in their personal and spiritual and professional development, and those who are able to adapt and learn from change, are those who have a growth-minded mindset. They see a change as an opportunity to grow and to change, versus folks who may have more of a fixed mindset.
Right.
And those two dynamics, depending on the subject matter and what's going on in our own lives, we may be growth-minded in certain areas, and we may find through the events of life that, hey, maybe I'm not so growth-minded over here, and I have more of a fixed idea.
Right. So even the optimist who may have very much a growth mindset all of a sudden realizes, oh, that's not working out so well. This doesn't feel like I expected it to feel. What do you say is happening there with a person?
It depends on the details. I think the general piece is there's emotional dissonance. There's cognitive dissonance. There may be spiritual dissonance in terms of where they are and maybe where they'd like to be, especially if someone's in the midst of change and is being radically shifted because new circumstances may be appearing, whether it be loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of a career, and even whatever it may be in terms of personal losses. And it's hard to anticipate. That's kind of what we're seeing. And it's sometimes we get surprised by how we respond and react.
Mm-hmm.
When the shift hits the fan in a way that maybe we're not anticipating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in ways when we are anticipating, but the walk may be different than what we thought, and there's the gap.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about what you mean by dissonance?
Dissonance meaning be feeling uncomfortable.
Oh.
So the transition process, somebody going through transition, is really about the internal, the emotional, the spiritual journey that's going on when somebody's in the midst of change. And that dissonance is a feeling of uncomfortability, maybe on an emotional level, maybe psychologically. It may be spiritual pain and body pain and somatic issues come up. So those kinds of things are pretty common. And I think because we're all human and we all don't know what we don't know, and we bump into these areas in our lives sometimes unexpectedly, and we find ourselves in spots where we've never been before, and we're then faced with new opportunities to learn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's talk about that for a little bit.
Exactly.
We are in the age and stage. I mean, if we're 50 plus, we got lots of stuff going on. We've been through a lot of change, and we may or may not have handled it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But collectively, let's mention a few of the change categories or the change things that we and our listeners are dealing with, have dealt with, will be dealing with. What are those kinds of real-life, street-level things?
Well, I think the obvious ones for those who are baby boomers, and those are our listeners here, aging parents, kids growing up, empty nest, retirement, potentially. What am I going to do now? And it's really an opportunity to me, depends on what's going on and how somebody's framing this, how they're internalizing change and how they're interpreting change. It can be frightening and it can be also exciting and both at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's where getting back to the dissonance may be. It may be a number of emotions, including excitement and a sense of adventure, depending on what's going on. So for baby boomers, it's a chance to recalibrate. It's a chance to reset, to ask ourselves what's important now. What's our mission in our lives? What's our mission statement for ourselves?
It seems to me that as we deal with change, there's one thing that we have to recognize. And as we go through these transitions, and it triggered in my mind when you mentioned aging parents, but it probably applies to these other changes as well. And that is the whole piece of letting go. Because when my parents started going through the aging process, I had to let go of those fond memories of the past as if we would ever see them again. So when my dad was failing physically and went into dementia and everything else, I had to let go. I treasure the memories and the good relationship that we've had, but I had to let go of the expectation that it was ever going to get better. And so he died. My mom was a caregiver for him, and gosh, she went through so much, we thought we might lose her first. And she had to let go. She didn't do that very well. She had to let go of his vibrance and his enthusiasm and his life, even while he was still living. I mean, just kind of have a whole new realization of the new normal. So would you say, and can we talk about that a little bit, about the whole piece of in change of being good at knowing when and how to let go?
Well, it's super poignant, because the more we hold on to something, obviously, the harder it is for us to be letting go. And right before we did this whole show tonight, or today, you were illustrating a part of your own process, and you had a clenched hand as you were talking, and then you opened up your hand to say, I've surrendered, and it's, and I had a feeling that, you know, here's somebody who's going through a process, he's sharing it with me, and he's physically giving me the gestures of literally what's happening inside of him. So the surrendering piece, I think the sooner we can get to that, especially if we believe that there is a God, and there's a purpose here, and there's meaning, and we can start to lean into our strengths and surrender to Him. And the sooner we do that, and sooner we get to that spot, I think that there's more of an opportunity to stay connected to the purpose and the meaning in the suffering and the changes.
And some of the things you have talked about, Miles, and I was picking up in your presentations at the chamber, was the value of writing, I guess you used the word creed. So speak to that a little bit about how we, as just normal people doing our thing and going through change, what does it mean to write a creed and believe it and live it out?
It's a really good question. In 1991, I went through a life crisis. I was introduced to a gentleman named Leo Weidner, who used to work with Napoleon Hill back in the 60s as a trainer. Napoleon Hill being the author of the best-selling book, Think and Grow Rich. And I was introduced to a concept of developing a creed, which is basically what I believe in all areas of my life. So personally, professionally, spiritually. And writing that creed in first-person present tense form, and then reading that creed back then in the early 90s, it was to a cassette, and then listening to that cassette over and over. So I started to literally burn into my brain and the brain grooves and the neuroplasticity that comes as a result of that, really how my ideal life and my ideal self would look like and feel like. And by doing that, things started to radically change.
So how does that work? What, you sit down with a pad and paper or a computer, and is it a page or 10 pages or a couple of statements? What do you recommend, or what can we do?
You know, a place to start would be a creed is to find an area in your life where you're experiencing the most suffering right now, or maybe the most challenged. And it may be something really simple, like I need to go to the gym 3 times a week so I can decrease some of my stress. And there may be a barrier to that currently. So a way to maybe frame that simple piece is to identify a goal, make it tangible, and then write the creed as if it's already happening. So, for example, I go to the gym 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 9 to 10. It feels great to work out physically, and as a result of me doing this, I'm much more engaged with my family, I feel more at peace, I have a better relationship with myself and with God. So you put the what in there, you put the why, and you put it in first-person present tense form, and you start hearing your own voice remind you what's important to you, and then something else happens. And that something else can be really profound. I see it as a seed that usually starts to get something even bigger and better. And that begins a process.
And I'm wondering if I'm missing the connection here, because when I think creed, of course, as a pastor, and I've been to theological seminary, a creed is a statement of belief or faith. It just is what it is, right? And I remember your presentation. I had my own story about that, about the present tense first person. So is that what you mean by creed, or do you advocate a person declaring something about what they believe about themselves and their place in the world and their place with God and in their community? Is that another application? Is that something else creed-based?
Yes. So if for believers and using the Bible as the model and the blueprint to how to live our lives mm-hmm. and how to connect with meaning and purpose and how to walk, using that context is powerful for the creed.
What I hear in that is an answer to the question I had, which, all right, if we have somebody who has a fixed mindset, how do we help them become more flexible in their mindset? And it seems to me that by using this creed, we're basically asking them to decide what that fixed mindset is going to be when we shift, but it's different than the one that's operating right now. And so by moving towards this one we've said is who we are and who we want to be, we'll start changing our behaviors to match up. Am I in the ballpark here?
You're right on it.
All right.
You're right on it. And what's amazing is that the same methodology that is a statement of belief recorded and played back to ourselves is such a powerful methodology and strategy. It's the same ones that McDonald's uses to teach you the ingredients of a Big Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody asked to say, you know, what's inside mm-hmm. of a Big Mac? They sung it to us. We learned it. So it's how we're wired. It's how we replace old scripts with new ones with intention and purpose.
I like that.
It totally works, because all of a sudden, there's the song.
To all beef, patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. I haven't heard that for 30 years.
Look at that. Proof's in the pudding. Or in the quarter pounder.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break in just a minute, but when we come back, I'm going to ask Miles about these five questions that we ask ourselves, or should be if we're not. Before we go to the break, I want to get back to the who said that, the quote, and the clues. Here's the quote. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. Who said that? Since we haven't done the clues on the podcast side, here they are. Clue number one. He grew up during the Depression, lived in a shack, and his mom sewed clothes for him out of sugar sacks, all of which resulted in teasing and ridicule from his friends and schoolmates. Ponder. Okay, here's number two. Clue number two. His family attended church every Sunday, which is where he learned to love singing, and he joined the choir. He went on to a successful music career, recording one of his biggest hits, Big John. And we're going to hear Big John right now.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John. Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John. Big Bad John. Then came the day at the bottom of the mine when a timber cracked and men started crying. Miners were praying and hearts beat fast, and everybody thought that they'd breathed their last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John. Big Bad John. And with all of his strength he gave a mighty shove. Then a miner yelled out, "There's a light up above." And 20 men scrambled from a would-be grave. Now there's only one left down there to save, Big John. With jacks and timbers they started back down. Then came that rumble way down in the ground. And the smoke and gas belched out of that mine. Everybody knew it was the end of the line for Big John. Big Bad John. Now they never reopened that worthless pit. They just placed a marble stand in front of it. These few words are written on that stand. At the bottom of this mine lies a big, big man, Big John. Big Bad John.
Big John, sung by the person that gave us this great quote. My thing with this song is I remember it very well, could probably say most of it by memory. Just like I did the Big Mac thing, to all beef patties. But I don't remember who sang it. But now that I did the research, of course, to get the clue, there it was. Okay, so we'll be right back for the third clue and the answer, and we're going to finish up our conversation on when the shift hits the fan, learning to embrace change as your friend. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had to go through the painful process of helping to plan a funeral for someone you love? It's one of the most emotional things you'll ever have to do. But imagine how much grief would be spared if people planned for themselves. Though it may sound difficult or uncomfortable to even think about it, the experts at Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries can help with a free personal planning guide that takes you through the process of planning. It also gives you helpful worksheets to ease the process. And of course, Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries will even help you complete your plan. There are a lot of reasons to plan ahead that I can think of. For one thing, you can make sure your final wishes are respected. You'll be sparing loved ones the added grief of planning for you. And if you choose to fund your plan early, you can even lock in current pricing, avoiding increases due to inflation. There are a lot of very good reasons to pre-plan your own funeral arrangements with Dignity Memorial Funeral Homes and Cemeteries, including the free planning guide. And now is a great time to give them a call. Call anytime, night or day, 503-747-7128.
Life is a journey, and it really helps to have a roadmap, especially during your golden years of life. There are at least 80 senior living communities and 1,100 adult care homes in just the greater Portland-Vancouver metro area. At no cost to you or your family, you can plan now for the right fit for yourself or loved ones. Golden Placement Services is the roadmap to your new home. In four simple steps, assessment, research, touring, and follow-up, the Golden Girls will help you prepare for the next part of your journey.
We found Golden Placement Services to be very helpful to us in locating a care facility for our father. They asked good questions to ascertain what kind of facility we were looking for. We were taken to a few homes that fit the criteria we were seeking, and we're very happy with the care our dad's receiving from the facility found for us by Golden Placements.
Visit our website at goldenplacements.com to learn more. That's goldenplacements.com. Or call one of the Golden Girls at 503-723-7145 today. That's 503-723-7145 and schedule your non-obligation appointment today.
Okay, we're back. Here is the third clue to that quote. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. We've heard the first two clues. Here is the third. This might give it away for you guys. Most boomers and beyonders will know this man's name, and if you think of him during the day, it will most likely be in the morning. That's the third clue.
Yeah, giving it away.
Did that help?
Not a bit.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, it'll all come together when you hear who it is. It'll all make sense.
I don't know. How about you, Miles? Is that making sense to you?
I like the song.
But you don't know who it is yet.
I can't tell you.
And you're a music guy.
I'm a little bit younger, and I'm happy to say that.
Okay. All right.
Well, we're going to shift back to something you know a little bit more about.
Thank you.
Than who sang Big John.
Oh, good.
And that is, before our show and our conversations with you, you have said that there are five questions that we should be asking. Will you tell us more about those five questions?
Yeah, you know, sometimes things can get framed in a way to make things easier to ask ourselves questions, and the answers may be really hard to answer. And the five questions that all of us as human beings are, I believe, hardwired to ask ourselves, no matter where we come from, how much money we make, whatever state we may be in. The first question is, where did I come from? Where did I come from? Second question being, who am I? Third question being, why am I here? Fourth question being, what is the purpose of my life? And the fifth question being, and where am I going? Where am I going with my life in terms of direction? So these may sound like simple questions, and any one of these questions, depending on where we are in our lives, and when we may be in transition or change, those answers may change. We may become more clear and more have an opportunity to ask ourselves again these questions. And I think it really relates to, as we look at learning and growing, to continue to ask these questions to ourselves, because the answers will take shape depending on what's going on.
Should we be intentional and proactive about knowing these questions and spending some time thinking about them, writing some things down? Or how should we interact with those very, very fundamental questions?
These are existential questions.
Right.
These are big questions, like, what's the meaning of life?
Yeah.
Why am I here? How did I get here? And what is the purpose of all this? So to me, these are driving questions that is part of the journey. And as we do our soul searching and our research and our this, that, and the other, and we try things and we step into our own faith, these answers start to materialize and we start to shape depending on our experiences and how we interpret the experiences. And it gives us a sense of self and a sense of purpose and meaning, which to me is really the framework for what we're talking about. When we're clear on these pieces, the change and the transition can be a lot easier because we have a center, we have a compass, a way to put things into context, even though we may not understand it all.
Yeah, I find great value in that. And the follow-on will be, where are we going to look for the answers? So there's a big, huge contrast and contradiction between looking inside myself for the answers, looking to the world for my answers, or, as a pastor, I got to say this, what about if you sit at your desk and open up your Bible, and maybe if you need some prompting or some help of where to start looking, but have these questions in front of you and let God answer or give some shape and focus to that answer? Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? God has a little bit to say about that.
He certainly does.
Yeah.
And to me, these are simple questions, and I love the way you frame that, is to put these questions in front of us. And as we're doing our work in our prayer work, in our reading, in our studying, in our living, that we come back to remember the questions, because it deepens the experience and it shapes the context of everything.
Right. I was listening to a pastor recently that he talked about the chair. And what that means is, he says, you should have a chair where that's your quiet place. And you sit down there with your Bible, and maybe it's a chair at a table or a desk, or maybe it's a chair in your living room, and you sit in that chair and you say, God, here I am yours. And you open up your Bible, and that's because that becomes a focal point, it becomes a place, it becomes sort of a physical centering. And so you sit in the chair. I really like that, because I have my chair at my desk in my office at home. And that is the place where God talks to me. It's an amazing thing, because if you just do it on the run and while you're doing the dishes, that's okay. But you got to have the chair where you sit and you say, God, here I am yours. teach me to go your way. What's that all about? And then have those questions. And Denise has her finger pointing right at a Bible verse.
Well, we've used this one here before, but it is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Yeah.
It simply raises in a different way
some
of those very same questions that you're saying we should be thinking about. So how do you like that? The way to have a growth mindset is actually to be flexible and ask ourselves these questions. What is that purpose that God has for me? And then if we're not rooted to a fixed pattern that we're going to live our life and we're going to that chair, he'll lay it out for us.
Yeah, those things which God prepared beforehand in that verse that we might walk in them. Mm-hmm. And we want to notice that that comes right after verses 8 and 9. I know where you're at over there in the Bible. It's Galatians chapter 2. Right? I mean, Ephesians 2.
That's right.
Because verse 8 and 9 say, for we are saved by grace through faith, and that is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, that no one should boast. And then a lot of times we cut it off there and say, okay, we're saved by grace. Yay, that's a good thing. That's absolutely. But then it says, for, that's, so there's a reason, there's a purpose. For we are created, I'm preaching again, aren't I? We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's mission. There's purpose. There's our calling. There's the chair.
There's the mindset.
Yeah. Thank you.
And there you have it.
Okay. Listen, we're about out of time. In fact, we are pow, pow, pow. There it goes. Well, we're having fun, but it's good, good life level stuff. So, Miles, I'm thinking that some of our listeners, whether listening online or on the air or, you know, a month from now or whenever, they're going to say, oh, I should be thinking about this. How can I embrace change as my friend? How can I deal with things when the shift hits the fan? Where can I go? And I know that you and I have talked about the possibility of somebody just contacting you, and you can kind of give them some ideas or some direction. Or, I mean, I know you're a life coach and you have other people and resources and everything else, but I don't want anybody to think, well, I just don't know what to do, so I'll just go listen to something else or I'll go do something else. No, if you want to embrace change as your friend, you want to get in touch with Miles and he will at least give you some direction. Could tell us a little bit about that, how that might work, and then we're going to have to finish up.
Yeah, well, thank you. My suggestion would be, if you're in a spot where you're ready to change, and by being ready to change, you're really exploring how that may look and what it may feel like, is to reach out. In this particular situation, you have an opportunity to connect with me. And I'm going to give you a web address. It's acceleratedlifestyledesign.com. Once again, it's acceleratedlifestyledesign.com. And it has my phone number and way to get hold of me through email as well. So here's my offer to you. If you're open to explore the where you're at in your life and to see if coaching is a place for you to explore some of that, I would be happy to set up a free consultation, no arm twisting, no anything other than giving you an opportunity to explore things. And if it seems like there's something you're interested in, coaching that is, and want to explore more, I can see if what's a good fit for you and who may be a good fit. It may be a female, it may be somebody that's very kind of specific depending on what's going on with you. So I'd be happy to make referrals. I'd be happy to help kind of encourage you and also to not feel alone, because sometimes when we get to these spots where we're really experiencing suffering and pain, and we're reaching out maybe for the first time and it may be a long time, it may feel a little bit scary. So there's a place you can go. And I'd be more than happy to spend some time with you.
I love the opportunity to have a place for folks to go if they just say, well, I'm not sure where it's going to go, but at least I can make a contact and see. Thank you, Miles, very, very much for being here. Will you come back again?
I'd be happy to. It's been a pleasure. Both of you are a lot of fun.
All right. We
Thank
had
you.
A good time. So we can't leave without... answering the question, who said that, right? Denise is just still shaking your head, right? Don't know. Okay, well.
Well, I do know. That's because I cheated.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't stand it. I looked.
Naughty, okay. naughty, naughty.
Now, so now I know, but I would never have guessed.
Well, here's the quote again. I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to always reach my destination. And I hope that that can be something that we can integrate into our management of change and life when the shift hits the fan. I'll just give the last clue because we've heard the other ones. Most boomers and beyonders will know this man's name, and if you think of him during the day, it will most likely be in the morning. All right. Who said that? The answer is Jimmy Dean.
Wow.
Right?
Man.
Okay. No, I was surprised.
Okay. In the morning, totally that's when you have your surprised. Breakfast and your sausage and stuff.
Oh,
Jimmy Dean sausage.
I get you. Okay. All right.
Yeah, see, we're a little behind. We're on the other end of the boomer.
Well, yeah, you're 10 years spectrum. Younger than me. I have a little bit of an advantage. But still, I knew the song being Big John, but I didn't
wow.
know.
I had no idea.
No idea. It was
Golly.
Jimmy Dean.
Wow.
Thank you again.
You're
that's
welcome.
That's our show for today. We want to remind our listeners that to tune in right here at KKPZ 1330 Monday, every Monday, 5:30 to 6 p.m. It's kind of a drive time for those who are commuting at that time. But you always want to go to the website because all the podcast stuff and the information and the forums and everything else available 24/7. SecondHalfNow.com. We're going through changes and challenges even with the website. So if you don't find what you're looking for there, just send me an email or do something to get back in touch with us. So thank you so much for listening today. Happy to have you on board. And don't forget to come back 5:30 to 6 KKPZ. Mondays, 1330, The Truth.
Thanks for listening to Second Half Now with Dr. Dan Critchett and Dr. Denise Hogan on KKPZ 1330, The Truth. Sponsored by Dignity Memorial. To hear the rest of this program, find out more about the topics discussed today, or ask questions, visit secondhalfnow.com. That's secondhalfnow.com. Tune in next Monday at 5:30 p.m. for more tools and tips for the life you want to live from now on. Until then, visit secondhalfnow.com.